to the best way to format foul for that. Bob, I'm open to suggestions. Otherwise, I would just follow the agenda, go to the person who's the logical speaker or presenter, and then probably from my vantage point, I don't know if we're all on different sequence on the screen, but I would go around the screen and ask people if they have comments or questions about whatever the speakers had to say.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The first thing on the agenda, all the participation, generally what we've done is acknowledge the emails that we've gotten in. You know, briefly say kind of, you don't have to read them, but just give an indication of a real short summary. And then we'll actually attach them to the minutes.
Yeah.
So when the minutes of the meeting go forward, it'll include those emails on it. So that they will become part of the record. But you don't have to read the whole email. Just, you know, acknowledge that we got how many, or Glenn, maybe you know, how many emails we got in, and then generally what the essence of the email was, and then we'll just attach it to the minutes.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Is anybody else?
Glenn needs to carry my microphone.
Any other preliminary comments before we open the meeting?
I do have a question. I have a question on one of the emails. Cindy Gavin. She makes a comment on page 171 of the document shared. What document is she referring to when she's talking about the access road to Dyer Avenue?
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't we pick up after we open the meeting?
Okay.
Any sign of DeMickey? There's somebody down here on my screen says just has the letter C.
I have a caller one and a caller two.
This is
right here.
Okay, well, if you're making noise there, you might mute your mic. So we'll call the meeting to order. Regular meeting of the Permanent Municipal Building Committee, first virtual meeting, April 7th, 2007, at 7:09 p.m. We're doing this remotely by GoToMeeting application. Roll call includes present currently are among the members, Dave Madigan and Karen Berry and Peter Reynolds. I have not seen Ron. Somebody's making a lot of noise next to their microphone. The public participation has encompassed, to my knowledge, but I'd ask anybody else who has other information to add to this, three email communications through Glenn's office, one from Joseph Cassiopa, one from Dave Sinus, and one from, was it Cindy Gavin?
Gavin, yes,
Cindy Gavin.
And it seems to me that they each had covered pretty much the same kinds of things, which had to do with raising question about access to Dyer Road from the back of the fire station location, raising question about thorough buffering between the station and the Dyer Avenue neighborhoods, both with respect to light and sound. There was a question raised about the ball field, which obviously is its own agenda item, and Dave Sinet, excuse me, raised the question about another property called the Old Menachini's. Have I missed any public comment? People offering public comment, number one, and number two, have I missed anything substantively that should be reflected in the minutes? You look muted. Glenn, if you're talking. Are you talking, Glenn? Because you're muted, I think.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yes, I only received three. I don't know if anybody else got anything, either at home or at town hall, but I only received three comments from the public. Joseph Cassiopo at 18 Dyer.
That's the only three I know of.
Okay, yeah, and then Cindy Gavin, and they all pretty much touched upon what you've already talked about, Peter. It has a lot to do with, the main thing was the access way from the rear of the firehouse over to Dyer, which they all seem to be against. There was comments about screening, vegetative screening and stuff like that. I don't know where Menuchini's is. I've not ever heard of that. But I don't know if that is even an option, frankly. And then there was comments about the softball fields. So that's basically it.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask Bruce, are you aware of what Menuchini's, the first sign it made to Menuchini's is? Confirm with Glenn that the
making a comment on the draft minutes for March 3rd?
I do on page, on the second page. It's number 2C, and
yeah.
It starts with a paragraph with Mr. Holland. And I don't know if that's even a necessary paragraph. I think we can remove the whole cup.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all that I had.
No, I didn't have anything.
Okay. Was that Madigan?
Yes.
Yeah. I concur with Karen's suggestion that we delete the paragraphs you referred to. Are you getting that, Dawn?
Yes, I have it.
Thank you. Paragraph, same page, paragraph E, at the bottom, I wasn't sure, last sentence, but second last sentence it says, there would be a report from Malone and McBroom regarding wetlands available March 4th, which was the day after this meeting. I wasn't sure if that was the right date. I don't think it was critical one way or another. In fact, we could strike that.
Okay, got it.
Third page, called Other. The fourth bullet point down has a parenthetical statement that says July, August on summer schedule, no meetings, special meetings if needed. I don't know what that refers to, if that's a reference to some committee or what. It's the building committee has meetings those dates. Can anybody explain that? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Somebody's background, somebody's mic is open. Unless there's a rationale for keeping that parenthetical about no meetings in July and August, I'd like to strike that parenthetical sentence.
Okay.
That's all I know. Is Demichi on anywhere? I think not. Bob, Bobby, anybody else have any comments?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion to admit?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Thank
you, Andy. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's amended.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't Someone needs to mute their mic, please.
Go ahead. Be careful when you're moving papers.
Sorry. Item 4, fire station update. First item is Silver and Petrocelli has given us a couple of new pages, which in our package materials is pages 4 and 5, I believe. Let's take a look at those. And is Paul here with us, ready to talk about what we have here?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay, great. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I am on your screen. You can see I'm on your screen and also Dave Stein. I'm actually taking Dave's wavelength also. So I have both. I have my computer as part of the meeting under Dave's name and also my cell phone that I can see better everyone. So Dave is not on the call. I am in both instances.
Okay, thank you.
I have, and I see you're putting up the image right now, which is great, because I was going to ask if I have the images on my computer as well, so, but it looks like I don't need to put them up. I can talk to the image on my screen that was put up by Bob. You can see, it, as was requested by the committee at the last meeting, and Dave filled me in on the meeting, what we have is the revised site plan with the latest version of the building footprint. and this also addresses some of the public comment that was just read into the minutes. What we have is the building footprint, and I just lost the image.
Yeah, I'll put it back, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. If you want me to put it up, Bob, I can do it as well.
I think I just gave you presenter rights, so if you want to...
Okay. Well, it gives me your name as the presenter right now, but that's okay. It's not critical. What we're seeing here on the screen is the latest footprint. The drive aisle is very similar to what you've seen in the past. I think the main difference is that we've removed the future cold storage building in the back. So we no longer show the outline of a future building, even though we know that it can't fit back there. We're not showing it. The fueling station behind the building was removed, so we no longer have the fueling station shown. Probably the biggest change is we're not showing a connection between the drive aisle behind the building and the gravel lot that goes to Dyer Avenue. So we disconnect the two, and the idea here is that we put in a buffer. So we're putting in a series of plantings behind the building, and of course they can be a little denser than that. But the concept is that for the neighbors behind, not only do we want to disconnect the drive so vehicles are not going through the neighborhood, but we also want to show respect that, okay, we can provide a vegetation buffer that will block mostly the light concern. There was a concern of light escaping the property, and of course we can do that through our site lighting design, but also with the buffer of trees and bushes behind the building, we can give them that much extra protection. So we're showing that behind the building and around the side. We did remove there was a ghosted image of a softball field on the side of the building for the last meeting. We took that off of this because we are not recommending any play fields or recreational facilities on the site. Instead, what we're showing is we have a dashed image of the existing firehouse. So we're really trying to demonstrate that we can construct the new firehouse while keeping the existing up and running, and we don't really impact the current operations with the two side by side. We can keep the drive aisle, the current apron, and the facilities up and running. So that was another change that we showed. And then there were just a little bit of fine-tuning as the building was placed on the site, showing all the turning radiuses, how the fire trucks would make the turns. I think it essentially, aside from that, there has most of the features that you've seen previously. But we did revise it to include these minor changes. Are there any questions?
Peter, it's Bruce. Can I ask a question?
Please go ahead, Bruce.
So, Paul, the three trees in that front island out in front of the firehouse?
Yes.
They'll need to go because there'll be a line of sight issue as they continue to mature.
Okay.
The ones to the right, I don't think are an issue, but I definitely think the ones to the left will be a problem. So, I would prefer not to have them there so that in the planning process and stuff, there's an expectation that they would be there.
And that's fine. Good comment. Sometimes we do show a row of plantings, which obviously we don't want to get into sightline issues, but if we can beautify the site without getting into the sightline, then we do. But if you want them taken out, of course we take them out.
They might be able to move down. Two of them might be able to move down towards that lot between the police station and the firehouse. I'm just concerned with them being that close to the apron that they would be an impediment as trucks are pulling out. So
sure.
They need to have the greatest line of sight as they can. So I appreciate the fact that they're there. I just think that it would be better farther down the road.
Okay.
Paul, I have a question for you. This is Bobby from Public Works.
Yeah.
The gray area in the back, I guess that that's gravel. Is that for the trail parking, or what is that for?
Well, it right now, my understanding is from our aerial photographs also that there is gravel back there now. It's kind of disorganized, if you will, but there is an existing area that people come in and they park and they access the trail. And we don't want to take that away. We want to keep that as a feature if the neighbors still use it, but we want to make sure that not only do those people not come onto the fire, the fire headquarters site, but also that there's no interaction. The fire trucks don't leave that way, but still maintain that public access to the trail.
Okay. Is it labeled trail parking? Because it probably would take a lot of questions away from this project, saying it could possibly turn into a cut-through for police and fire. And it would actually help sell the project that you've got a nice parking lot there for the trail users, right?
Sure, yeah. We list it as existing gravel, but we could put trail parking. Or we could say trail parking only.
I'd put trail parking. Probably fine.
Okay.
I take it right off the plan. I think it's just going to get people. It seems to be the biggest issue, and the way it's drawn out there, it seems to be highlighted. I wish there was some way we could minimize it, or you know, it doesn't have to be as big a feature on the plan. I think we need to figure out a way to make sure that it's distinguished and it's clearly recognizable that it is not an access way into the fire station.
Or make it smaller, perhaps?
Yeah, right now it's a very prominent feature, and I don't think it's really supposed to. Remember, we have a trailhead just right down at DBW across the street. You know, if there's parking there and we want to keep that informal parking, that's fine, but this looks like a whole new feature that we're creating to make it a substantial, you know, characteristic of the project. And I think the thought is there's some informal parking there that could continue for bike trail access, not to have a formal parking area kind of as indicated here.
Okay.
Is that gated onto Dyer? Is there any gate there?
I don't think so presently.
Right. No, there isn't. It's part of the Little League parking lot.
Yeah.
How they get in for softball games.
So are we carrying anything in the plans to do anything other than leave it as is?
No. That's to my knowledge, no.
No. I don't think so.
Right.
I think you think where Bob's going is just get that out of there and just leave it as is, and people
don't have that be part of the project at all.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Do we show it as just lawn area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question for Bruce.
Yeah.
In your time with the department, is there ever been any...
Yeah, we're losing you, Peter.
...go halfway on the tire?
We don't have a back way. There's no access present there now. I think we lost Peter.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I heard your question.
Sorry, I just lost it all there. I was just asking, Bruce, if you had ever experienced the need to go out from the existing fire station out through to directly to Dyer Path there.
We have no access to that now.
Can't do it now.
Well, I think you could do it. I just...
No, we literally can't do it. There's a building in the way.
Yeah, you can't go to that parking lot over there.
Oh, I thought you could probably drive over the grass and get there. Okay, so the answer is it's not anything that you've ever contemplated. So
now, let Peter, the original drawing I saw in 2018 when I started this, that was an open driveway coming into the back of the building. I asked for it to be gated. I didn't want it.
Yeah,
I was just there.
I remember those gated pictures. And given the sensitivity of the residential neighborhood and the issues and the fact that you don't need it, what we've been doing was to preserve it for various discussion purposes, and it sounds like Bob's right. We ought to just take it off the drawing.
Yeah, I'm not looking for it. And I had gated because I didn't want access coming in.
Right. Is this drawing on the town website, Bob?
I don't believe so. I don't think we've had it that long, quite frankly.
Okay. I just wondered, it was obviously an issue that every one of the public comments picked up on, so they're looking at something that made them ask the question.
Well, I think they must have been looking at something older. I was wondering the same thing, Peter, because, you know, I don't believe we've shown any access on site plans to the rear of this, at least nothing that wasn't gated in a long time. So I don't know what they were responding to myself. I had that same question.
Yeah. Well, so this is something, though, that Paul can revise, and we can get back on ultimately it can be in the information that is disseminated to the public or accessible to the public.
So by taking that off the plan completely, does it eliminate an attractive nuisance that the neighbors might appreciate having rectified?
Maybe. We're not going to demolish it, are we?
No, we're just not going to have a part of the project.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my feeling. I guess, you know, we in my mind, I would support continuing to use that existing area as parking for the trail. I think the number of cars and the congestion that presently exists on the night of a softball game would be grossly diminished. There might be a few people parking there for the trail, but I think it is a nice feature for some people. I think the concern that the neighbors had was any fire trucks and fire apparatus driving through the back way, and I think we want to be very clear that wouldn't be possible, and I think this site plan illustrates that pretty well. But I wouldn't show it as new grass or something, because that would potentially indicate that you would not be allowed to park there in the future, which I don't think that is necessarily what we want.
So what should the drawing portray there?
But existing to remain.
I think that's fine, and if you just show kind of a light beige kind of area over there, which is kind of what it is, it almost looks like that's a paved area or something, that's in there right now. I would make it just kind of fade into the landscape as best you can,
Hey guys, this is Glenn. How about a dotted line, like a dotted outline, kind of like you have, Paul has for the firehouse now, for the existing firehouse, just do like a hash mark.
What do you think, Bob?
I would just leave it tan to indicate existing conditions and just say that the Board of Selectmen wants to make it a formal parking lot for trail access. They can do so, but it's not part of this project and not planned. I just think just leave it tan for current conditions.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, I would agree.
You can do something with that, Paul?
Definitely. I like the suggestion of making it maybe a beige color.
gaps between the end of that beige area and the parking lot for the fire station, so there's no confusion as to whether or not it goes all the way through.
Right.
Correct. So, yep. You would think the trees would do that, but I wouldn't leave anything to chance.
That's right. So I actually had a question on that, and that is, and I don't know what it costs, but what if we were to put just a small berm across the back so that it was clear that we weren't going to have a flat space that we could drive across? It would elevate the trees.
I think it's an added expense we don't need. The trees should portray it good enough. And if people think that you're going to continue to drive back, then you'll just say you'll take down the berm someday. So the added expense, I would just leave the trees and make sure you have plenty of separation between the beige area and the back of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this illustrates pretty well the way it's shown now that you're not going to be driving any fire trucks out the back side there.
Okay. Yeah, berms are hard to... They're weed whacker nightmares. So, keep it good for us.
One comment, I think we've shown the turning radius this year, and I'm sure they're accurate, but it sure looks pretty tight to me for a fire truck to make the turn into that last bay. Is there any, do we think there's any leeway to push that pavement back a few feet to make that turn a little more comfortable, or, how do people feel? What do you think, Bruce?
I was actually just looking at that myself, looking at the side left, and I guess my thought is we're looking at a pretty small drawing right now. I'm not sure if I saw this in a larger print what I would think about it. I don't know what the what those spaces equate out to, right? I don't know the markings to guess. Paul, what is the distance from, let's say, the back left-hand corner the back of the building? I mean, to the back of the lot.
I don't have a dimension right in front of me, but I would gather it would be probably about 40 feet, a little less, maybe 38 to 40 feet between the back corner of the building, going straight back to the edge of the pavement, but just under 40 feet.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right. If we could gain a couple feet going back, that'd be great, but I'm not looking to push all the way back.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's plenty of play here. A couple feet would be fine.
I'm just saying it's hard to tell from the drawing as it sits right now, but I think David's right. I think it looks tight, especially coming back in on that left-hand side.
Yeah, you got to think about when snow comes and you're pushing the snow back there and stuff, and you get snow piles. That looks a little tight to me.
At the last meeting, we mentioned taking the book radiuses and pushing those by 15 to 20% to give the trucks adequate room for maneuvering. And
Bob,
and Dave responded.
Can you move the drawing up a little bit?
To match
have basically a pretty good rectangle, which is going to buy you a little bit extra room for the turning radius. As far as this, I don't know how much extra pavement that's going to be. It doesn't look like very much. Moving the shrubs back and trees far enough off of the curb are also a great idea for snow removal. But one other idea that I've seen done is using Cape Cod curb. So snow plows can actually mount up that curb a little bit and push the snow completely off of the pavement. It does require a couple of things. It requires the operator of the snow plow to, not be speeding because he's going to damage the curb, which he's going to do in any case if it's just a standard curb. But obviously they need to know that there is a Cape Cod curb there and that they can mount it with the plow. So you get to the end of the run, you lift your plow a couple of inches, and it climbs the curb and it moves the snow completely off. Otherwise, you're going to wind up losing parking spaces, especially between islands. I don't know what that does to the costs, but it's really just a matter of using a different mold on the curb machine. So I don't know if you think, Paul, how do you feel about, have you had any experience with the Cape Cod curb in parking lots?
Yeah, we don't use them often, to be honest, but they're not a bad idea, especially in a case like this where we have a large lot to clear snow from. I think it makes sense to be able to push it off the edge like we're talking about and have the buffer, a good 10, 15 feet off or more, so that allows us that snow shelf that we're talking about.
What is it, Paul? One other thing that's missing here, and it literally just caught my attention, we don't have a dumpster pad with any screening around it, and we have a dumpster on site. It's not a big dumpster, but I'm assuming that the site plan you need to show that, and the truck's going to be able to need to access it. So,
sure. Would it make sense to put it centrally located when you go back behind the firehouse, straight back, not all the way across the side, but come back, and it could be between the firehouse and the police station, all the way in the back, and right, put a bumper around it.
Yeah, I think if you were to kind of square, so if you see where the police station parking lot is, and you have the tree,
yeah,
if you were to kind of cut that little piece of green off and, like, kick the trees back towards the other trees, you could probably put the dumpster and the screening straight in, so the truck would just pull in, pick up the dumpster, and either they could loop around the outside of our building or whatever they need to do. But I think that way there, and Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, the PD and us could then end up sharing the dumpster at that location.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
The dumpster and recycling.
Yeah, we have one recycling can, but we have to figure that out.
In terms of turning radius, why is the back of the police station showing what looks like deeper, more pavement behind the police station to the end of the pavement, considerably more than behind the fire station where you've got the large vehicles that need to turn?
They park two vehicles outside and on the inside.
Yeah, the reason is that's where the police park their private vehicles and some of their overflow cruisers.
Oh, and that parks. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And then they have an alleyway that they can come in and out of.
Yeah. Yep. And on this drawing, I see we're connecting the back of the police station to the back of the fire station, which I know we've discussed before. And is that something that serves a utility, or is it just a thing that we might need but don't know?
I think it actually kind of makes sense. Currently, the police department restocks their oxygen through us. parking lot, but we do go over there for medical calls, and probably the ambulances will, some of them will be going out of the back of the building anyway, so it just may be,
okay.
An issue of convenience on both sides.
Yeah, okay.
And this parking area that's designated between the fire station, it's in grass between the fire station and the police station, I can't read what the script says there.
So that's an overflow. So the police department has a training room that has pretty limited parking because of the parking out back with the groups and stuff. And if you calculated out the seating in our training room, we really don't have parking. So the idea was to put an overflow parking lot between the two buildings that could be utilized by either facility if a training event was going on at either site, or if there was just an event going on at the PD or at the station without eating up all of our parking.
How do the number of parking spaces on this drawing compare to what you currently have?
We don't really have parking spaces. We have a big open paved parking lot, so I couldn't answer that question. I would say that we're probably less or equal to the parking we have now. It's a different layout.
Well, I guess I'm wondering what the number of parking spaces is based on.
I assume it's built on the, there's a square footage thing that would be generated by over Petrocelli related to the use of the building.
Anybody verify that?
Paul, are you still on? Did you guys base that on the occupancy of the building, parking spaces?
No, it, right now we did not do a formal calculation. What I can tell you is that we based that on, well, obviously what we could fit in front of the building. I mean, we have that the two lots right in front of the building as big, almost as big as we can make them without getting rid of all the grass. And we do, of course, have. Because of the truck turning radius behind the building, we introduced the seven spaces behind. So could we add more? Of course, we can always try to add more, but we don't right now we did not run a formal calculation. So that would be, obviously, we'd want to confirm that number before we went to a planning and zoning or that sort of thing. Or just based on, actual need.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, I think we currently have around 25 or 26, rooms for 25 or 26 cars on the paved area. And then we have the dirt to the north, which, gets a couple vehicles once in a while. And the count here, with seven behind, about 20 in front, and then another eight or so in the additional overflow area, I might be picking up eight spaces or something like that. The other thing, too, is that overflow parking, when you have the EOC in operation, that would give them a place to park as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, that overflow parking is key to the police department. I can't tell you how many times I've been over there when we're searching for parking, so I think that certainly would work well for both police and the fire department.
Is that Bob talking?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have no objection to it. It's one of those things that when we're looking for $500,000 for a softball field, they're going to ask if you need that parking. And if we need it, we need it. We just need to be able to say why we need it. And it'll be visible if it's empty. And I assume that there's people can park on the grass after the old station is demolished over there if there's no situation. But I'll leave it to the we leave it to the users, the fire station, the police station, if they've been looking for parking and this satisfies a defined need for it, then we should certainly carry it. I'm sure it's not adding a significant amount to the expense anyway. Is there any need for a detention park?
pond for the water after we clean the vehicles and stuff? Or runoff? We're carrying a detention pond here somewhere.
We do not. We don't show one currently, no.
We're going to need one?
Either some sort of a detention we could put into the site plan, or it could be a galley situation. Either way, I know a lot of developments are getting away from underground galleys and putting in natural features, natural swales, and we can try to incorporate that.
Are you talking about when we wash the trucks?
Just say that plus site runoff in general.
So we would put soapy water in a detention pond?
The wash water is going to go over to the WPCA.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's not going to go in the detention
area. You're going to need a setup like we have at Public Works. You're going to have an underground tank that has an oil-water separator, and then the water goes from there into the sewer plant, and then you'll have to do yearly big on your oil water separator tank.
Right. I'm just saying, there's no other operation we would have that would use a detention pond. That's what I was trying to determine.
No, but I think the issue is general stormwater runoff will have to be handled in some manner or form, and in the previous iterations, we had some sort of a underground galley arrangement to handle that, which we probably should carry an allowance for, because as much as a detention pond might be cheaper, I think it would be very difficult to construct here, because the site is pretty much dead flat, and I don't know how a detention pond would work too well, but you know, I think it's something to be looked at as the site plan develops further, you know.
Well, is there any need to show a detention pond on this drawing at this point? If there's not, we won't have one.
Yeah, I tend to think that that's a site development that takes place after this phase. That's getting into some more of the finer details.
That's what I was going to say. That'll come later. You're going to have to hire a site engineer, and they'll do that analysis for us.
Okay. Yeah, we just need to make sure we have some money allocated for stormwater mitigation here, and whether it's galleries or some sort of a pond. There's some money there. I don't think it's going to be crazy expensive, though.
Right. Are there other questions or comments on Falls Drive?
Is there any indication of site lighting or anything? Should that be something that's indicated on the plan? That is an issue that was raised by some of the residents, and I don't know whether there would be any poles. Building-mounted site lighting would tend to be, worse for the residents out back than some poles might be. I don't know if that's a detail, that too much detail at this level or what, you know.
So, David, I was actually thinking about that today. I would really recommend, if we're going to do the building-mounted lighting, it's towards the front, because that's where the public would be coming up to the building at night. The back would be primary. That back area is going to be authorized personnel only. Those parking spots won't be open to the public in the back, so.
Yeah, again, it's probably too much detail now, but I think, you know, we just want to make sure that, you know, building-mounted lighting, when you look at the building, you see the light, whereas if you put, a couple bollards or something along the outside perimeter and it, you know, the light was directed towards the building, it's a lot more attractive for people in the, in the properties out back there. So it's just something to think about. It's probably more detail than we need to get into right now.
You're saying essentially lighting on the building as opposed to
general, you know, for sight lighting, if you put a light on the building and you use that building to illuminate the area around the building, when you look at the building, you see the light. It's much brighter. Whereas if you do the reverse and light towards the building using some sort of pole-mounted fixture, it tends to be better for, you know, for neighbors and stuff. So, but again, it's probably too much detail right now. That's something I think when we get into design, we'll try to make sure that, you know, the light, because I do think you'll need some lighting out back, even though it, you know, you guys are, you know, operating an emergency thing. There may be times when you want some light out back. You just don't want it to be objectionable to the neighbors. So.
Right. David,
I think it's a good idea to put it on there and say, you know, high cutoff pole mounted fixtures, and that addresses the issue for the neighbors, and it makes sense to have it as part of the project.
Yeah, well, it's good to highlight that now. It just addresses some of the concerns. That was in a couple of the, one or two of the emails, I think, so.
Yeah, just a few of those, you know, pole-mounted, high-cutoff box fixtures would be great.
Sure. Okay.
Anything else on this, drawing?
We're clear that there's no need for a traffic signal out front on River Road now. That is not something I'm not advocating for it. I'm just bringing the issue up as to whether we feel it would be necessary, desirable, etc.
I don't see a need for it. We don't use it now, and we're pretty okay with the traffic egress going out. And I think the new ramp will be actually set back a little bit farther, so the trucks can actually turn onto the ramp when they have to back in. Because even though these are drive-through bays, the majority of this won't be drive-through because it'll be trucks back-to-back.
Yep.
Is that a question, though, for DOT when you go to make a curb cut?
I don't know. I just know a lot of fire stations do have signals that, you know, are controllable by the fire people, but I know there's a lot that don't, and I'm not advocating for it at all. I'm just saying we should, you know, be clear whether we need it, we feel it's needed or not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bruce is feeling as he doesn't need it.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think your question about the, you know, whether there's a anything with the state or not is, you know, worthy of addressing at some point, but I don't know. I tend to doubt they would require something there.
Are we doing two curb cuts to make this project happen? Or are we using an existing one and just doing one?
Looks like two.
Two curb cuts on a state road? So DOT...
Given one back, I guess, but two new and surrendering an existing one.
Right. And DOT has to approve.
We have two there now.
Yeah, you'll have to get an encroachment permit with the DOT. We had to do it for the other side going into Public Works. It really wasn't that bad dealing with the DOT on our side of the 179.
Yeah.
Paul, I do have one quick question for you. The fifth bay, the most northern apparatus bay, when those trucks leave, they have to veer left in order to go right to get around that radius?
Correct.
Can you pull that back a little bit so it's a straight shot out and they don't have to go left to go right?
Absolutely. I mean, we can make it as wide as we need to. You know, Our thought is always to try to take the apron and minimize it to, you know, the bare, you know, because it's such a wide apron to begin with. But yes, we certainly can square it off. That's not an issue.
What do you say, Bruce?
If we just do it to the bay door, you don't have to worry about trying to square it off to the storage room area. It's literally, it's hard to tell. I don't even know that there's even really a swerve. I think it just looks that way from the building, but if we could just make sure that's a straight line out, that'd be great.
Okay.
prints on this drawing?
And I can't tell, are we still putting the hydrant to the left of the driveway coming in? Parking lot, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Just one final comment. Is I think we're going to want an emergency generator, and is that shown, that's what's shown out back there? It's a little small.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys.
I did have a question about that. So there's a generator that's currently sitting on the P&E site, right? And now we're going to be sharing this property. What would be the potential option to, if you look at that green space between the back side of the Sally Port from the P&E and the station, to put a large generator that services both facilities? It might help Bobby from a maintenance standpoint for us in the future. I don't know. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, yeah, the police generator is over in this corner, right where, kind of where the building jogs out, over on the side where the new fire station's going to be. It's not big enough to do, closer to the building, whoever's doing that. It's not big enough to do the fire station and the police station, but in theory, put a larger generator there and have it do both buildings. All you'd have to do is run a cable across the lawn.
Yep. Is that a propane or diesel generator?
And then you wouldn't lose the space in the back of the back parking lot where the proposed generator is.
I think theirs is currently diesel, correct, Bobby?
Yes, it is diesel. It's not big enough.
You wouldn't be able to do both. I think that's a good idea, and there's a lot of benefits to doing it that way. You have less equipment to maintain. There's always a lot of maintenance associated with the generator, less fuel storage to deal with, all that kind of stuff. It would be a little bit more costly. You'd be putting in a bigger generator, and you'd have a little more complicated transfer switch arrangement and stuff. But I think it would be a good idea. It also is less stuff on the site. You know, makes the building look a little better from behind and stuff. So it's worth thinking about. You know, it is a cost add. You know, there would be some more money involved.
I understand.
Well, it's Bruce and Dave.
I think that's it for me.
Yeah.
All right.
You collect everything, Paul?
I have my notes, and I will, what I can do is I can go through them and type them up and at least give you these are what we talked about, and then I can make the revisions to the site plan that we talked about.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll go to page 5. Page 5 is the schematic cost that we've seen before, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have my office file with me, though. Is that correct? Are these the Millennium figures?
Page 5 is the solar picture, sorry.
That's good. I didn't think these were the Millennium one.
No, this is a reformatting of how the Millennium costs were laid down, reformatted in a similar fashion.
Correct. This is when Dave Stein in our office went through the Millennium numbers and compared them to similar quantity takeoffs from the North Stonington project that we worked on, and Wallingford project. That so we worked with actual costs and then broke it down by the categories Millennium was using. And again, we don't have much to go on because we're just in concept or schematic design. But based on Millennium's numbers and their breakdown, we reformatted our numbers to come up with these line items, which we think are relatively close at this stage to where they would be. And again, they match our numbers we're a little bit higher than Millennial's numbers, but not much. I mean, we're in the same ballpark, basically.
So just one quick note on that, Paul. In the HVAC line item, there's a description for tailpipe exhaust. I believe it's the chief's direction to have scrubbing on the vehicles and not have like a pipe open.
Okay. Yep.
Is that radiant floor item, line 23, include the flooring system?
Looks like it's included in this number.
The whole building or just the garage?
Just the garage. Okay. Just the apparatus bay.
Okay. That's what I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, again, I think that's something we can look at when we get into design. I think, you know, there was a desire to have it throughout the whole building, and the numbers Millennium had come up with seemed kind of high for the ad, but, you know, that can refine that as we get into more, you know, complete design.
You're not inclined to try to make the full floor radiant at this stage, Dave?
Oh, I would be for it, but I think, you know, the cost differential is within the, error, whatever the range of error at this point. I don't think it would be a lot more money to do it, and I think it would be good to do it, but I felt the number, I think they said $30,000 to extend it through the non-bay areas, and that sounded like a lot of money to me, but I'm not sure it's worth beating that up right now, you know.
$98,000
was a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that seemed like a kind of crazy high number to me. So, I mean, if $400,000, I wouldn't do it, but I don't think it would cost $100,000 to do it, you know. I mean, you can, you know, we can go back and look at what the radiant system cost in the DPW building, and I'm sure it wasn't any $100,000 extra, you know, or $100,000 for the whole system over there, you know.
Just one other thing on descriptions. The first line item for general conditions, the second to last item mentioned is fee before et cetera. And fee or profit is also listed down in the third to last line item. So just to be sure if there's not duplication within fee description.
In line one and profit down at the bottom, I don't think those are the same thing, Gary.
They're not.
From a construction management perspective, they are.
Well, how does this look to you, Bob and Bobby, who have the experience of working with Millennial on the garage, and you saw the Millennial figures that we got on this project? How does this look to you? Is what you want to go with? You want to go with this? These figures?
You want to include the 3% contingency? I mean, escalation cost? There's an escalation cost in this.
Yeah, we did compare these figures to the garage
more in the range of what was at the garage. You know, obviously there's a little bit of difference, but there's a difference between the fire station and the garage.
Right.
Garage is more warehouse where this has additional functions to it. So you know, we thought they were within the range. Yeah, I don't know about the escalation. I mean, this. Well, yeah, because we wouldn't be constructing it for almost 2 years.
Right.
So the having an escalation in it makes sense.
Okay.
And having a contingency is fine too, obviously. And 5%. I think we had 4% in the garage, and we still made it work. But 5% is much closer to what you would traditionally have.
Okay.
You got probably a little bit on the low side.
Hmm.
And I was surprised at the 98,000. I think Bobby went back and spoke. Bobby or Glenn went back and spoke to Peter about that, and he still says it's 98,000. He says that's a real number. So.
Yeah, Peter actually talked to me and said that's assuming we're only going to have one zone for the office, which I think that sounds legitimate, and that's the number that his HVAC vendor gave him, so for the square footage of the office area. When I asked Peter to do a quote for us, I did tell him that we wouldn't be building for 2 years, and it doesn't reflect it anywhere in this quote.
Right.
Those were his numbers, knowing that. So.
Well, but he's got the escalation of 3%.
Well, this, Millennium's in permanent escalation.
Yeah, there's no escalation from Millennium, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
the difference is the escalation.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, we can check with Peter. Maybe you know, he's that if he was planning on not building it until 2022 anyways.
Bobby, you were putting a below-the-line estimate summary together, which presumably wants to be covered in whatever referendum numbers we you know put forth. Do you have those numbers summarized, and you know would they get added on to this construction cost estimate?
What numbers are we talking about? The floor?
Below-the-line stuff. Yeah, typically means you know. Furniture, fixtures, you know, any cost that the town is going to incur directly for testing or oversight or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we have soft costs that we talked about 2 meetings ago, and I think that the number is somewhere in that $555,000.
Yeah, it was $554,000.
Yeah. Right. So that would want to get added to the 4.6 and to come up with the total referendum number. Is that correct?
Would you want to use the 4.6 or would you want to use Millennium's?
We had it, I think we had it close to the 4.2. But that was based more on Millennium and didn't have some of the other items that are in here.
Well, bigger numbers always safer, but I am cognizant of the desire to kind of keep the total price tag below $5 million. I think in general, I'd say carrying the escalation was, you know, a worthwhile thing to do. Of course, you know, the last month or two might get me questioning how much escalation there's going to be, but, you know, we'll have to see where that goes. But I think it would be appropriate to carry some escalation, whether it's 3% or what is the question. And for around 4.2 for their construction cost.
Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, give me a second. I'm pulling it up on my spreadsheet.
What you gave us today, it looked like 4.2. Just looking at some of the differences, we had utilities at 91.5, and in here they're at 155. I'm not sure what the difference is there.
Don't know.
We had in those soft costs, it's not really a soft cost, but as an additional cost, underground detention system of 50. I think they might have included it in their quote of above. I think that's why there's some of that discrepancy.
Yeah. Well, it's
correct.
It's not apples to apples, at least not totally.
Does the town need to carry anything for abatement or environmental cleanup?
Yeah, there's demolition on both quotes. And we have
including abatement.
Well, if there's a remediation
part of the demolition.
Well, but there's an environmental remediation in the soft costs.
Yeah, but
if that's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Bob Martin, it's Bruce. Did you say that the quote for the HVAC was the living space area beyond the bays is one unit?
Well, one zone.
Okay, so my only concern with that is if you take where the office area and the training room area is, it won't be occupied 24 hours a day. I think we're going to be overheating a space that we don't necessarily need to heat. I mean, I don't mean deep, but we can actually do this day-night stuff in that area of the building and save some cost compared to the kitchen area, dorm area, and bathroom area that are going to have to be maintained for the crews that are there at night. So I have a concern that it would be that way, but if that ends up being the better way to do it, I just have a long-term cost question about what it costs us to run the heat in that building. With it set up that way.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Right now, the added cost is for one zone, is what I was told.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, and I think right now I would frankly look at that number as an allowance. There just hasn't been enough design done on it to really split hairs like that. The estimate from Millennial, and basically they carried $30 a square foot, which is a reasonable number. They were lower at $459. I'd be more inclined to carry the $525, so you have some ability to, you know, potentially do fully radiant or, you know, get some additional zoning in place. But I don't know that any of these numbers have been developed with that level of detail yet, you know.
And that's fine. I was just looking at the fact that we tried to work really hard to almost, I don't mean from a heating standpoint, but we tried to zone the building related to living space and space that wouldn't necessarily be occupied on a regular basis, and I just don't want to see us lose some cost savings in operations if it's possible to do it, but I get the fact that we still need to vet this out further, so.
Yeah, but no, you're absolutely correct. We should definitely do that, because that'll be a big long-term operating expense that we don't want to bear if we have to condition the whole building when parts of it are largely unoccupied. So, but I think that's more of the details. So.
So it's Peter talking. I've been disconnected here for bits and pieces. I'm wondering where people are coming down on the figure on this page 5, which is 4.6 million, and now we've got a ball field for over $500,000, and we don't have soft costs in here. And what's happened to the millennial number that we were working with at the last meeting? Are we not using that anymore for some reason?
I don't know same guy that built our building, and let's be honest here, every dollar matters, so, but...
Well, we can't take this...
I think some of the numbers that you have in your soft costs are now in this estimate here. So I think if you went through and you signed that they're not that far apart, and I certainly would be more comfortable with the $4.2 million that Millennial went forward with than the $4.6 we have here.
Yeah, the biggest difference seems to be the general conditions. Is there's only 155 in Millennials, and there's 513 in this estimate, and it may well be that a lot of those general conditions are covered in soft costs. Or, you know, I don't know why there would be such a big discrepancy, because that's something I would rely on Millennial to be pretty accurate about. They know what the general conditions would be for a project like this.
But Millennial didn't include soft costs, and is Silver Petrocelli including soft costs here?
No,
we're not.
Okay, so I'm confused by why we're seeing these numbers tonight. It feels like we're going backwards rather than forwards. We know we've got a figure to work a budget to fall within with the selectmen, and we're getting to the point where we need to have a final number to go to selectmen and finance in a very short number of weeks, it seems to me. So nobody's actually looked at this next to the Millennial, and yet we're presenting this. We're looking at a new set of numbers for the first time tonight for some reason. Why is that?
This is what you asked for at the last meeting. You wanted a reconfiguration of the Silver Petrocelli format to more closely look like the format that was used for the Millennium estimate. Not necessarily the numbers, but the way the format was spelled out, because there was a little bit of confusion when you were looking at the Petrocelli format. And then I guess Paul's guys went ahead and did a little bit of reworking on the numbers.
I don't see anything in them. Go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, it looks to me like, you know, it's not a rare situation where the estimate that came from the design professional, Silver Petrocelli, is higher than what we got from a design build contractor. And I think it's really up to us to determine, we can say, you know, one should be higher, one should be lower, but I think it's really up to us to determine, how conservative or aggressive we want to be in the number that we carry forward. I think Millennial, they just built the facility across the street. You know, they should have a reasonable feel for the cost for this facility. And, carrying a higher number as we get into design will allow us to do some things that we, might otherwise not be able to do and might want to do, but going to make the referendum argument more difficult. So, it's I really think it's kind of up to us to, make that call, between the two numbers. You got 4.2 and you got 4.6. Where do we want to be?
Well, we've also got other numbers to take into consideration, don't we, Dave?
All the other numbers need to be added, but are you adding them to 4.2 or 4.6,
Well, I just don't, I'm not sure. It sounds as though you think we've got an option of choosing between 4.2 and 4.6, and if we're going to be under $5 million, I don't see, and pay for soft costs, I don't see how we have that option.
Well, I guess the question is, if we want to say the referendum maximum is $5 million, then we say it's $5 million and we back ourselves into the numbers. That's the option. You either set the budget or you set the or you set the project.
Yeah. Well, does anybody feel that we have more than $5 million as a budget?
I'm a little concerned because when we were given working with the $5 million, we were basing it on adding to the additional field we had across the street. given the new directive, and that's coming in at $500,000, I don't think that we can realistically be that way, where we can be $5 million.
I'm talking about $5
million.
Excuse me?
I said I completely agree with you that absorbing, you know, we had the $5 million I thought was a very tight budget from the get-go.
Correct.
$500,000 worth of field work in that number I don't think is realistic.
I don't either, but I'm not sure if they think that. I don't think that they got that on their mind.
You know, that may be true, but I think it's our job to tell them that. I don't think it was realistic to absorb. I mean, we were talking $50,000 or $100,000 to fix up the field across the street, and I think that was absorbable.
Right.
$500,000 for a fancy new field for softball, I think is something we can absorb. But I think if we need to exceed the $5 million because of that, and that made it more palatable to the community as a whole, and if we're going to get to a referendum, then so be it. We should call it 5.4, you know.
Yeah, well, we're at about $5 million without the ball field, if you take Millennium's number and Bobby Softcross number. As I recall, the number was like 4875.
I don't think it was that high.
No, I've got the number I've got from Millennial. I got, and I don't know if it was updated, but I have from December 5th, it's $4.119 million. That was
Millennium.
And then if you put $550 on top of that, that's about $4 million.
Okay.
That, you know.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're still for 98 for the full radiant, another 100 for the full radiant.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I have the number here if you would like it.
Okay.
Adding in Peter's radiant price and the soft costs with no reductions is $4,772,992.
That includes the extra radiant?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm personally good with that number, and if, you know, we are going to add $500,000 worth of the field, then I think the number should be 5.25 or whatever it comes out when we add $500,000 on top of that.
Yeah, I don't think that we're adding, I think our charge hasn't changed. It was to look at the field across the way and say what would be necessary to bring that up. They've now asked Bob to contract with Malone and McGrew to do a design over at the high school. And we've got that design. That's a new project. The fire station project did not include the construction of a brand new softball field. They've now got that, and they can talk about funding that. But I think that we can bring the construction on River Road at the fire station in under $5 million. If we ought to try to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't see much option of selecting these Silver Petrocelli numbers, which are, you know, add another $440,000 or whatever it is.
Oh, as long as we're comfortable that the Millennial number will give us the, you know, facility that we're talking about, then I'm good with using that number. You know, I think another $100,000 worth of contingency wouldn't hurt, but we're comfortable with their number, and like I say, they just built the CW facility and they brought it in on budget, so you know, no other mistakes.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to turn to the Malone and McBroom drawings of the softball arena? Ready for that?
Sure.
This is multiple pages, and I'm not sure if it makes
go through them all, or to just start with the end, which is a revised drawing after some back and forth, including Glenn and Mark at Malone and McBloom, and I think Neil Pate and Bob as well. So I think probably it makes sense to look at page 12, Glenn.
Yeah, page 12 was the
latest drawing
based on staff comments. Yep.
Their latest drawing.
Yes, that is the revision based on staff comments.
Is Mark with us? Mark, want to be heard? I don't have any screen here, so I can't tell if anybody's with us. I'm just on speakerphone.
Mark, are you on? You're showing on the he's showing on the list with his microphone on, so I don't know.
All right. Well, Glenn, why don't you tell us where we stand with this since you've had the back and forth with him?
Sure. So we had the first drawing that's in your packet, which you don't really even really need to take a look at it, but it basically maintained a separation between the existing softball field at the high school and the proposed. Staff comments, one of the things that was included was, I think it was by Bob Skinner, was that we have some kind of an access way between the two fields. So what Mark did is he created an access up to the sidewalk, and that was one of the things. Neil then thought that maybe that little row at the very top of the concept should all go, so you have more of a complex field to the two softball fields, so you can actually see across from each field. And along with that, staff thought adding a concession stand that would be shared between both fields, as you would have in a softball or baseball complex, somewhere in between the two. It would be a larger stand, would probably be able to vend different types of food versus just, you know, snacks. So that was drawn. Mark went ahead and combined the bullpens and the batting cages, one on either side, one on either baseline. There are dugouts shown. One of the things we thought of was if there's going to be a press box, it should be enclosed at the ground level so you could have storage. So you have kind of, you know, a two-story, like a ground level and a one-story above for the press box. Wetlands has been flagged in the fields. There's plenty of room as far as that goes. Mark, I asked Mark to draw setbacks on the street lines, and he did that, and on the property line, and he did that. So it's, I think, a very nice looking concept. It lends, you know, in the way the field is laid out. You know, it's facing, I think it's facing easterly, so sun is not that big of an issue until, you know, the end of the day for the outfielders and stuff like that. I think it's a pretty nice layout, actually. And if we do what Neil thinks would be best, and you take those trees out at the top, you really have a kind of a nice, you know, softball complex that can be used for more than just, you know, high school and little league, but you might be able to host tournaments on it. So that's, you know, a little extra added income for the town, possibly.
Yeah, can you guys hear me now? I just had a dial-in because I couldn't get my mic to work.
Hey, Mark.
Is that Mark?
It is. You did a great job, though, Glenn.
Thank you.
Good. You want to add anything, Mark?
No, I think we went through a couple iterations, and we got it to this point, knowing that it's black and white, but we didn't want to go any further until we got together with you guys again. And then we threw some numbers to it, having built several of these things. And, you know, you're not renovating an existing field. You're not renovating or turning a, you know, an existing hay field into a softball field. You have to clear, grub. Soils aren't perfect over there. So you're building a new
garage probably doesn't have a chance of passing. I think if we're going to take that other baseball field, softball field, I think you have to. And I think we're going to have to build a replacement.
One recommendation that you might want to consider is, you know, one of the first things we said, I walked this field after Glenn called me, I walked the woods and said, I don't know where that wetland boundary is. So if you can notice on these plans, we actually sent a wetland scientist out there. We flagged and delineated the wetland. They're down in the, north arrow on there, but they're in the center field area, which we now know that you can fit a 200-foot outfield. You can fit even more than a 200-foot outfield in there if you wanted to. That's something that we had to figure out first. The next big thing is to get out there and dig some test pits out there to see what your soils are. That you can then start to refine your number. If we don't have to do a substantial under-drainage system, and we can, you know, you can work with the material you have out there. If you have a decent layer of topsoil or organic out there, now you can start to refine that number. So when you want to know why there's 15% contingency out there, it's because we don't have enough information to really put that number in there. So I agree with Bob that that number can come down. It'll come down with a little bit more information. The topo out there is favorable. We know we're not going to have to get into a whole bunch of cutting and filling, but there's going to be some machine work out there, no doubt about it.
Well, what do you think, Bob? Would you like to have Malone make this presentation to the selectmen? This is what they asked you to do, I guess, at their meeting in March, was to get Malone and McBroom to do a design.
Yeah, I think we need to work on that number, though. Bob, do you have any thoughts on that number or Glenn?
Yeah, I want to just say... Sorry, Glenn, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think Mark's right and Bob's right. I think that we can get that number down with a little bit more, legwork on it. I'm reaching out to some ball field contractors I've worked with in the past years to give me some ideas, just to throw a couple numbers at it. Nothing rock solid, but, enough that we should have a better idea of what we're going to land on. Just looking at it right off the bat and talking to Tommy Richardson, who, is from town and knows a lot about the soils here after working for the town his whole life, I'm not sure there's going to be any problems with any kind of drainage. He actually went out there and he located an old storm drain that drains the area between the two fields, between the existing field and the proposed, that is in pristine shape. So we actually have some place to drain to. If we have to, that'll be a cost savings. And I'm not sure that we're going to need any under drains here, based on what I've heard and what I've seen. So clearing and grubbing is going to be a big, big number. Mark's absolutely right, because there's a lot of trees out there. You can't grind the stumps. You got to dig them out. Mark's right. There's quite a bit of machine work. So, but I think I can come up with some numbers that are going to be sweeter.
I just want to be like the number curmudgeon here. If you want to throw this field together and get it in with the project, our magic number for this field, get it under $5 million, is
$227,000.
Not happening. Yeah, I don't think that we should compromise really I just don't see it getting built for that much, and I don't think it's reasonable. This $5 million was a totally arbitrary number, and then this softball field came in on top of it. So to say that the fire station plus the softball field has to fit into the $5 million, I think is not what we shouldn't do it. I mean, to me, it's not reasonable to say that you what I think was a very tight number to work with, the $5 million, but we brought the project in below that. And now to say, on top of it, we want a, you know, a significant softball field development and still keep it under the $5 million, I wouldn't come back and say we're going to do that, you know, personally. Now, what I'll say is, I think the DPW, you know, Bobby, you and the guys did a fantastic job of taking, you know, the leftover space at the DPW site and turning it into a pretty nice field. So, you know, I think there is the potential for the town to, you know, execute a lot of what needs to be done here, and that can bring the number down. But I just feel uneasy about, you know, moving into the thing with the expectation that, you know, we're going to do it for $200,000 or something, and the town's going to, you know, the DPW is going to do a lot of work, and it could become an unreasonable burden, you know.
Well, it sounds like we need to take some further steps in beating up the learning about the area for the ball field and beating up the approach to the estimate, and obviously this is still preliminary, and I understand the value of being conservative, but if we're going to try and package this softball field on Simons Avenue with the fire station on River Road and time those inextricably, then we need to be as belligerent with the softball field expenses as we have been with the fire station, presumably, and really beat those numbers down. So I don't know what timing people anticipate, but we probably have some the opportunity to do that between now and the May meeting. I would think before Bob can tell us otherwise. Does that give us time to look at this again next month and then show it to the selectmen?
Yeah, my thoughts was exactly that we would come back in May with essentially final numbers for both the fire station and this field, and keep it as close as we can to $5 million, but have some, you know, actual numbers from either, you know, foresters who can remove the trees, and you know, basically just come back with more solid numbers for the whole project, and then narrow in it and pick, you know, decide what the appropriate number is, and then move forward to the Board of Selectmen. But I think the next meeting is going to, the key is going to be coming up with that number.
Well, Mark's given us a good feel for what the potential is, and he says, you know, 350 to 500, and now we got to go to work on that 350 and see what we can do with that. Mm-hmm. And we've got a little with the other thing budgeted, as we've discussed this evening. I mean, the fire station project and soft costs. We've got at least a potential couple $100,000 to work with in the $5 million that we've been talking about, and you know, I think I agree with Dave that if this brand new ball field and site clearing and so forth is going to push it over, then that's what we should report to the selectmen and let them think about it. How do you feel, Karen?
I think so, and even if you just add the 375 to the other numbers we're looking at, you're looking at 5.1, 5.2 million, which is not that much more to get a new ball field.
Yeah.
If you look at the whole package.
Yeah.
And I think a new tournament-type field would send everybody guess on the whole project.
Exactly. I think, you know, if the softball community thinks that they're going to, with you know, with the win on this and a you know, really a nice new complex, I think it will really help get this whole thing through referendum, even if it throws some additional money on top of
it. And it's not that significant. It's not like it's bringing it to $5.5 million. You can get it less than five and a quarter.
Yeah, agreed.
And you have to put it as baseball complex or the complex as opposed to a field. We're making a complex.
Yeah. I mean, remember how easily the big complex across the road passed?
Yeah.
That wasn't even close.
That was shocking. Something.
$4 million.
All right. Well, do we want any further discussion on the softball field at this point? Just for your reference, Dave, you may have missed it. That it's page 15 and 16 in the material that in which Millennium gives us the $98,000 add-on. We've already discussed it. I just wanted to know where that figure came from. I don't think we have. Is there anything further on the fire station ball field agenda items for discussion at this point? So, Glenn and Bob and Bobby, you have a sense of what you would propose to do with this in the coming weeks to work on the softball development?
Yes, I do. I've already gotten started on it, and I reached out, and I'm going to get you some information and get you some, I think, pretty good numbers based on what's going on out there. You know, people are still looking for work. I think we should be able to do pretty good.
All right. Okay. So we'll go to number five, which is invoices, and we don't have any. And item six is chairman's report, and I would just return to the question of scheduling under my time and ask. I wasn't sure that the schedule that was laid out on page 3 of the minutes from March 3rd really had been consistent with what we were discussing. For instance, saying final package for review by BOS Board of Finance prior to November referendum. But obviously we've got to put this on the agenda of selectmen and finance well before November. So I did want to check with Bob, if not now, then between now and our May meeting, to give us when the best time to get these figures, these budgets, and referendum questions back to the Board of Finance and Board of Selectmen is in your sense of their meeting schedule. When should we be aiming for?
You should get it to the Board of Selectmen in June, then they can get it to the Board of Finance in July, and then it comes back to the Board of Selectmen in August, in which case they would set the referendum question, which would need to be set and approved by the Board of Selectmen prior to usually the first week in September, because the question has to be set 60 days before the referendum. If it's going to be on at the general election.
Yeah, okay. Is it still your feeling that we should try to meet that schedule based on the slowdown in everybody's business and government business and so forth?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, there are a couple of factors to look at. Now, one is, if we're going to bond, not a bad time to do it. Interest rates probably never been lower. We do have the capacity to bond. Our debt service is going down. So from a financial standpoint, the town, it's not a bad time to do it. You know, I mean, the board of finance hasn't discussed otherwise.
I suppose the board, you know, will have, in June, have to take a look at it. But the issue of overcrowding at the fire station isn't going to go away. And
right.
We've gotten this close. So, I think we need to finish the design, which it sounds like we're there. I think all we need to do is type the cost estimate and uphold the field and the fire station. And it's really the Board of Selectmen from an operational standpoint and then the Board of Finance from a fiscal standpoint as to whether or not we move forward. But last time I spoke to the first selectman about this, he certainly was the mindset that it needed to move forward. And that was fairly recently.
Okay. Well, that's good. It makes sense to me. I thought I'd ask every time I turn around, something else is closed. And I'm not aware of all the impacts and implications that has on, obviously, public and private sector operations. And I suppose that we have to anticipate the possibility that there will be some sentiment as the economy experiences the setback it's undergoing, that people will be less inclined to spend money. Having said that, I think you've answered the question from the building committee's perspective, and I tend to agree with you that we can't ignore significant services and infrastructure investment that we need to make in something as important as the fire department and the EMS.
Yeah, there's two sides to that. One is, certainly we have financial concerns, and they are absolutely legitimate. But the other side of that is, people are really understanding the importance of first responders and all of them having good facilities. So there's two sides to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I certainly understand the sentiment.
And in connection with that concept, let's lose sight of the discussion that we've had a couple of times in the last few meetings with Bruce and his people, and also from the town website perspective of getting some really meaningful, graphic, clear, simple, succinct information up online for people to see about what what this project means and why it's necessary and what it involves and why people should care about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Bruce, have you got anything going on that score?
I think Bruce, he could leave earlier unless he's still there. Oh, I think he left.
Okay. I can't see anybody, so I don't know. Okay, well, that's going to be part of it. And I was impressed at the fact that we got the comments that we did, and I wasn't sure what it was that elicited those comments or what the people had been looking at. Do you know what they were looking at, Glenn or Bob?
No, I don't.
I think part of it is when we sent the agenda out, we put on it, if you have questions to email Glenn. We've done a similar thing for like the Board of Finance right now. We have budget questions at townofcantonct.org, and we've got a lot of questions on the budget from that. So on the agenda, since we don't have public participation, we've asked people to send in emails. And so I think, when we send out the agenda, we do notify it. People get it. They see that we're directing them where to send questions to, and so they're responding.
So I was just confused that they both indicated that they seemed to be looking at a plan that showed an access from the parking lot behind the fire station out to Dyer, fire trucks would be driving in and out of there. I can't remember a site plan that shows that, and it certainly was never our intent to have major access out back there. So I was just wondering, what were they responding to,
Right, they referred to a 172-page document, which is probably the original report. I think
blue steps from 1990.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I don't think it's just the 1990 report. I think it's that thing that Silver Petrocelli was involved in 2017, that was of that magnitude, which was a comprehensive study. And I guess that may be online somewhere. I'm not sure. Anyway, I just was wondering it because I'm glad to see people asking the questions, and the questions were consistent. They all made sense. So that's good. I just want people to be paying attention to the project, you know, as it evolves, rather than just reacting to it when they see it as a budgetary matter.
I think one thing we can do is, Glenn, I think you can respond to those emails, especially the ones that indicate, you know, that they have a concern about an access road, and just tell them that the direction that the committee is indicated that they're going to go in.
Sure, yeah, I can do that. It sounds like there are people that have been kind of on the outskirts of the whole thing, but they've been watching it closely, because if they're bringing up stuff, you know, that might have been created a few years ago, it means, you know, obviously there are people who live in the neighborhood, so they're going to stay on top of it, and they probably, all three of them, felt that this is, you know, the time to make a comment. I'm sure they probably were speaking to one another as well, if they all live in the same neighborhood, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Anything?
I just thought of one issue about phasing that we just want to keep in mind, and that is if the softball field and the firehouse are done as a single project, what would presumably happen is, you know, construction on the two would start at the same time, and that means immediately they lose their softball field, and they probably wouldn't get it back for a year. It means, you know, they would temporarily maybe have to play across the street or somewhere else, but the question would be, you know, is there any potential to begin the softball field development earlier? If we pass referendum, you know, that could almost be started, you know, immediately, and that might get them the softball field, you know, in advance of construction start on the fire station. So, just something to think about, you know.
And actually, you would have that ability, because if all the next year is just land use and approvals and all those things, and then you would start construction the spring of 2022, and so you would have that intervening year in which you could do you could do the softball field. So you would have that opportunity. I can see you doing the softball field in the fall of 2021. Then you start the garage in the spring of 2022.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's the garage fire station.
Yeah. So something to keep in mind. I could imagine that question coming up from the softball folks, and it, there's no reason we can't do it. I think the sooner we get it going, it gives us some flexibility on how to execute the thing. We certainly wouldn't want to do the same contract to Millennium for both of them, so it's going to be an independent project anyway, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there any, has there been any opportunity to introduce the concept of the softball field to either the Little League softball folks, Park and Rec Department, or the high school, middle school athletic director? Are there any concerns from any of those perspectives about using the same space or using the same parking or little kids mixing with older kids or anything like that?
I haven't been in contact with any of those people, but simple enough, I could certainly, if you want me to share the concept with them, I can certainly share it.
Well, frankly, it's been a little elusive to me as to exactly who it is we think that we're addressing and satisfying with this move. And so I'm probably not the best person to say, but it seems to me that if we're going to propose this as the panacea to getting infrastructure expense on the fire station that we ought to see if the people who we think we're satisfying believe it's a good idea.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they'll absolutely love the idea of a $500,000 softball field. But I'm a little bit worried about showing them something that might not be, that would meet their expectations or exceed their expectations by a great deal, and then not actually go that far with it. You know, they're expecting, you know, a pot of gold, and they wind up with, you know, a bucket of lead, so to speak. But I can certainly show them the concept. I mean, if you'd like me to reach out, I know the person at Canton Softball that I spoke to, Stan, was very nice. You know, it's been a few weeks since I spoke to him, but I mean, I think he was aware of all this taking place, but he has not seen the concept.
I know Stan is very aware of it, and I know the first selectman has spoken to Stan. And my understanding that Stan was supportive of it, and the superintendent has been made aware of it, and I haven't heard any concerns from the superintendent either.
Okay. Well, those are good bases to touch, no pun intended, and I think that the only other question in my mind is whether the age groups are appropriate to mix. Presumably there will be high school softball and baseball games being played after school on a regular schedule when there are, elementary school kids use the softball field. That makes sense to everybody, we're in good shape. If it doesn't, we kick ourselves for not finding out in advance. You got to consult with the stakeholders.
You know, it tends to be later, you know, early evening and weekend that, you know, the softball field gets used, where the high school fields are right after school. So I think, you know, parking-wise and everything, I think it's a good idea. I think it'll complement the overall facility and improves the overall capabilities of the town, you know, as far as fields go. So I think it's good.
Well, that's good. Those stakeholders at the superintendent, the athletic director, and the little league director, if they believe this is a favorable project, it will probably garner support for the overall project town-wide.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure the stakeholders are aware. If you don't feel we've already done that, so thank you. All right, then we'll plan to have a meeting in May, and Bob will tell us whether it's going to be in person or not.
Right.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we adjourn? Thanks, everybody, for working so hard to make this a good meeting. I appreciate it. I've missed your faces for the last 45 minutes.
All right.
Are you here, Don?
Yeah, I've got you.
All right. We're during the meeting right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night.
Tom, I'm Glenn.
See ya.
Well,
good night. Thank you. Bye. Stay safe.